Good evening, and welcome everybody for the third quarter results. I think I can say I'm happy to anticipate that the third quarter results are in line with the good improvement we have shown already in the second quarter. As I think we all agreed, that 2019 had two main tasks to accomplish. Number one, to fix definitely all our operational issues after the big changes of 2017 and 2018. I think this task has been completely accomplished. And the second task is to demonstrate that once we have reached a good level of operational efficiency, we were able to generate cash. I think that also this task has been accomplished, I can say, successfully. And both of these tasks are really the ground keys to prepare the 2020. 2019, I think since the beginning, we have highlighted the priority to reestablish a positive relationship with our customers. We needed to regain trust, and I would say all the year has been managed with this clear priority in mind. Despite we are a globalized business, in this moment the situation is quite smooth all around the world. We have not pushed necessarily to a stronger growth because, again, to reestablish a trustful relationship and generate cash, it's better to be focused on efficiency. But I really have a positive feeling on 2020 that is going to start for us, has already started, as we have regular meeting with our customers, and I can confirm that this year we have done a very positive job for the expectations of 2020. I think we can go now to the M&A session in order to enter into more details. Thanks.
Just a short preview before the Q&A section, the numbers. So I just asked you to go to the presentation, to the first page related to the core business sales. Core business sales are equal in September to 535.9. So compare 2018 9 month sales, the sales show an increase of 24.3%. It is equal to 104.7 million. Of course, this difference take in consideration also the M&A effect related to the first month of Pacon, 5 months of Pacon, that was acquired in June 2018, so this effect is equal to 88.3 million. So if we consider this effect, the increase of sales compared to 2018 is equal to 16 million, 3.2%, and 1.4% net from FX. Just to confirm the improvement that we already seen in the first half, there is again an improvement in this quarter, because in the first half this difference was equal to 2.4%, now is 3.2, and the net of FX effect, we had a slightly negative difference of 0.5, now we have a positive difference of 0.3. The recovery is mainly concentrated in the, as you can see from the numbers, and the notes here under, is related to the recovery that we had in the euro, in Europe mainly, where the difference compared to previous year is almost near zero. The FX effect are more linked, or we can say all the more or less all the FX assets are referred to the North American area. There is an increase of US dollar of 6% compared to the previous year, and this effect is equal to 15 million. Just to conclude the core business sales analysis, the trend that you have in the geographic area is where, again, the Asia trend is totally confirmed, and we have an improvement also in the Central-South America area compared to the first half. Is totally reflecting the product line breakdown, where the school and office show an increase of 5.8 million, mainly due to India and Mexico. Industrial shows an increase of 0.9 million, mainly due to the German company Lira, and the fine art, hobby and digital show a decrease of 5.3 million, mainly refer to the North America fine art, where we had a strong effect of cut-off of the SKU with a very low profitability. If we go to the EBITDA analysis, the EBITDA in September is equal to 88.2 million. So compared to the previous year was equal to 73 million, because we have to consider the normalized EBITDA 61.5 plus 11.5 on normalization that we had last year. So compared to this data, we have an increase of 20.8%, but also here we have to consider the M&A effect the due to Pacon, to the first 6 months of 18 of Pacon. This effect is equal to 13.5 million. So without this effect, consider this effect, the adjusted EBITDA show an increase compared to the previous year equal to 1.9%. And the net of FX equal negative 1.2%. Let's say that this result related to EBITDA show an improvement compared to June result, because the increase, the 1.9% that we have now, was positive 1.3% in June, and the difference, the net of FX, was negative of 2.5%, while now we have 1.2%, so a recovery compared to the previous quarter. We can say that also the marginality is more or less the same of the previous year. Of course, is affected by some the inefficiency that we had in the first quarter related to the hub, and then also to the increase of cost of raw material compared to the previous year, of course, and also to the other, quite material investment that we have in the fixed cost of the area that show more increase, that are India and Mexico. Normalization, of course, normalization, we have two effects. One is related to the IFRS 16 effect, that is 9.6 million, that is partially offset by 7.5 million due to extraordinary costs related to all the organization, the staff rollout that we had during the year. And now if you go to the net income and net financial position analysis, the last one, you can see page 6, you can see that the net adjusted net income is equal to 33.1 million, so an increase of 52.9% of this comparison this data is compared to the adjusted net result of 18, not of, without pro forma, so it's just an adjusted result comparison. The normalization of 7.9 million that you see in the 19 result is due to a combined effect between, again, the normalized extraordinary cost that we have seen in the EBITDA plus other normalization related to IFRS 16. Just for all your knowledge, the total effect of IFRS 16 in the P&L is a negative impact of 1.9 million, and related to NFP is equal to 78.2 million of debt. The net result, of course, is affected compared to the trend of EBITDA, or more amortization depreciation, mainly due to the PP&A effect that we have mainly taken and the previous acquisition. If we go to the net debt analysis, you can see that the net debt increase of 131 million. Of course, part of this increase is due to the IFRS 16 asset for 78.2 million, I just mentioned, and to 2.8 million related to the acquisition of the minority stake on our Greek subsidiary. So taking away these two assets that totally for a total amount of 82 million, you can see that the increase of compared December of the net debt is equal to 50 million. And 50 million can be also is divided in a different amount. For 22 million is related to the core business, and I'm considering the operating cash flow positive for 14.1 million, the net financial expenses of 17.6 million, the capex for 14.1 million, and dividend pay for 4.3 million. These two effects show a 22 million of absorption or increase of debt that is really lower compared to our historical trend. And then we have other effects that are cashless effects that are related to the negative mark-to-market aging for 13.6 million and negative FX effect for 14.5 million. This total effect makes a total of 50 million. What I would like to point about the net financial position is that this quarter clearly show a very strong cash generation of the group. You can go exactly to page 10, where this show the cash flow. In the cash flow, you can see that compared to the previous year, we have operating cash flow better compared to the previous year of 24 million, and a free cash flow more or less better than a similar amount. So in a summary, we have a better cash generation of 24 million. This is also reflected, of course, in a better EBITDA cash conversion, and also the ratio of net working capital sales compared to FX effect is better, more or less, a little less than 1 point, is 23% compared to the 24% that we had the previous year. So this is just to say that the main focus of this year of the manager was on the cash flow, and the result really showed that the cash flow improved a lot compared to our estimates. So I think that now we can open the Q&A session.
We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star then one. First question is from Alessandro Cecchini with Equita. Please go ahead.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for taking my questions. The first one is about the third quarter, only about the third quarter. Adjusted EBITDA, excluding, of course, IFRS 16. So if my calculation arrives, basically, adjusted EBITDA grew by around 3% year-on-year, respect a very favorable base of last year. I would like to better understand what kind of trends you had in this quarter, and possibly if you can quantify the impact of Walmart one-off that you had only in the third quarter. My second question is about net working capital. So net working capital absolute value, the absorption is very similar to the last year, with a very strong job on inventories, but trade receivables rose quite substantially. So what I would like to better understand is the impact of the acquisition in terms of net working capital. So I would like to understand this number, excluding, of course, the negative contribution of the new acquisition, in order to better understand your job on the net working capital. My third question is about your expectations for the full year in terms of net financial position, excluding Forex hedging, and excluding, of course, IFRS 16. So I would like to better understand if do you confirm the 50 million free cash flow target for this year? And finally, my last question on the tax rate that was much higher than the first half, so around 29-30%. I would like to better understand dynamics, what is your expectation for the full year. Thank you.
Okay. Ale, I will start with the last question. Tax rate, I always say 28-30%. So to be honest, there is a little my number with some adjustment, I mean adjustment, that extra accounting adjustment, because I know the number, I have the split of also the company with losses that are not taxed, not deferred tax. If I do a more precise job, of course, the one that you can do, I'm around 29%. So I think that I will land again between 28-30%, but my range is also my target is always between this range. Not over 30%, but is more or less in this range. About the third question, we confirm that at least without extraordinary item, as you know, that we will have the effect of Superior, that we don't have Superior sales, the asset deal that we closed in the first day of October is not included in this number. So without any extraordinary effect, we confirm that at least we will have a leverage of 50 million, 50. About the net working capital, your comment is right. I mean, I have an EBITDA cash conversion of 5%, of 25% compared more or less to 3% of the previous year. So you have to consider that the big job was done on the inventory, for sure, and you see the result. But you have to consider that we have an incredible additional volume of business coming from Pecon, and you have the same absorption of working capital. So the working capital absolute value is the same in the absorption, but you have a lot of more business. So of course, normally if you have business, you should have a more absorption of working capital. So for this reason, it is a good result that having a higher EBIT or EBITDA, you have the same absorption of working capital last year, because you have six months of business more this year. And so it's correct your comment, but to have the same amount of working capital absorption is a good result, having a double or a bigger EBITDA, because you can see in the operating cash flow this is higher compared to the previous year. And you have also to consider, when we talk about the working capital, that this working capital is affected of more or less 6-7 million of euros of higher payment due to all costs, mainly referred to capital increase that we pay in January. So the result could be a little more better. For receivable, right, but again, you have to see the total amount of working capital on total receivable, and this is due to the volume of Pecon mainly. But again, if you see page 10, the fact that you have 62 million more or less in the change of working capital, having a really 70 million more or less more of EBIT, I think that is a good result. I confirm that it is a good result. And about the EBITDA of the third quarter, more or less I confirm that your estimate is correct. Then maybe I will let to Massimo to conclude, but mainly is the recover of the euro compared to the second quarter is the recovery that we had in the eurozone. Yes, we forgot to mention South America, as you have seen in the first page of the sales, you can see that India is a slightly less improvement, is a 23% and 20% now in the third quarter was 23%. Central South America increased compared to June. Europe improved a lot. America stayed more or less stable, but this result is not true from it's true from accounting point, but it's not true from a business point of view, because due to the rollout that we complete in the first week of October, North America stopped the last week of sales, more or less for million more or less of US dollar. That of course affect EBITDA, sales and growth of the quarter. Be a little better than the one that we are representing.
Okay, thank you. And about the Walmart, if you can a little bit explain the dynamics of this. You wrote in the press release the total amount for the 9 months and specifically the total the amount in the third quarter.
We have more or less 1.8 million of impact on EBITDA. Mainly this impact is due to litigation related to 17 and 18, not to the current. There is also a little part that is normal, but very, very little, that is related to the year, and we will as defined. It always will happen, but the 95% of this amount is related to the previous year, or the problem that we had in the past.
Alessandro, Massimo Candela speaking. The problem came out when Walmart had an internal audit at the end of 2018. So they found some discrepancies between physical inventory and accounting inventory. So this is the reason why for many months we have gone back and forth to discuss. At the end, we are clearly projected to the future, that this year with Walmart the business is progressing extremely well, we needed to find a compromise which really has more a commercial sense than really an accounting meaning, because we had even hard time to understand how to go back in 2017 and found the discrepancies that they were claiming to us. So this number is almost close to be final. Anyway, it's a sentiment related to 2017 and first two quarters of 2018.
Okay, and 1.8 million for the 9 months in the third quarter, how much is the impact?
Is 500.
Okay, thank you.
But 1.3 the first half, half a million now.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from François Robillard with Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Hi everyone, good evening, thank you for taking my question. Just a quick one on extraordinary costs. You booked 3 million euros of additional extraordinary costs in the third quarter. Could you give us a bit more color on what they were used for, and can we expect more of it in the fourth quarter with the SAP rollout at Dixon? Then, if you could give us, you told us about the $4 million impact at Dixon. Can you repeat again if it will drop down from revenue to EBITDA, or precise what your expectations are for the impact of this SAP rollout? And then finally, could you give us a bit more visibility on your EBITDA guidance, adjusted EBITDA pre-IFRS 16? It was 118 million at the start of the year. I understood that after the Walmart impact, it would be 116. Do you confirm this 116 figure? Thank you.
Extraordinary, yes. What happened? The increase that you highlight is correct. What happened between in the last quarter? We have an ISF that is for half a million, more a little more than half a million, is due to the accrual of the share-based premium, the new incentive plan for the manager that we have, let's say, an accounting effect in the last quarter. We had a profit because we released the old plan, and now we are accruing the new plan. This creates a negative adjustment in the first half, and now an adjustment on revenue, and now an adjustment on the new accrual. This creates more or less 0.6 million of additional accrual compared June. Then I want that for us very clear what happened the last quarter was a really big process of organization because we had all the cost organization, the final cost organization related to North America that is 1.4 million additional due to consultancy, shutting down, transfer goods, closing office, then all this kind of cost. And then also we had the cost related to the rollout of staff. So this total makes the additional amount. Just to summarize, part is due to the share base of accrual for, let's say, 0.6 million, 1.5 more or less is due to the North America organization, and then we have another amount, yes, related to, for the remaining amount, to the CAS, the France organization, because we did another rollout, another merge in France that was quite big, plus the last little organization in Australia that we move the subsidiary from one city to another city of Australia. So we move all the plant, the building in Australia. So this is the reason why we had this increase of extraordinary cost.
Massimo Candela, concerning your question about DDA, let's say that we still see a good growth for 2019 for the simple reason that starting from the month of March, all our internal processes are working properly, so the situation is quite smooth all around the world. We have only one area that give us some small concern, frankly speaking, which is related to North America and this unbelievable instability we have due to tariffs. Still today, we are sitting on tariffs that could come or could be cancelled the 15th of December. This could have an influence on the decision of customers to make some replenishment of stock. In this moment, our customers are extremely low in terms of inventory. We have experienced in North America this once-in-a-lifetime effect, or at least once in a reasonable period of time effect. This year, our customers have decided to destock. This process now is at the end. The problem of tariff can impact a bit their decisions toward the last 2 months. Anyway, we are seeing a good fourth quarter, generally speaking. We are not going to have all the strong inefficiencies we had last year. Let me remember to you the all the strong amount of fines we received from US market, the unbelievable increase suddenly of transportation costs from China, the overnight import duty imposed on products that were really on the ship, in the sea, they were traveling. So all this negative effect this year will not happen at all. the business is fairly good, and more than that, we have already fixing next year trend with customer, and we feel very comfortable. So in this moment, we have no reason to modify the expectation on EBITDA, and we are rather more positive on the net financial position at the end of the year, that we confirm that we will be probably better than the yearly expectation we have always given.
Thank you.
The next question is from Isacco Brambilla with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening everybody, and thank you for taking my questions. I have three. The first one is on your organic top-line growth, especially in North America. As far as my understanding, current performance is being penalized from some kind of clean-up activities you are completing. But when I look at 2020, I would expect an improvement in your sales performance, and I was wondering whether we should expect a return in the low single-digit growth area, also thanks to cross-selling fertilization from Pacon to Fila. Second question is on gross margin. You applied an important price increase at the beginning of the year, but this is not translating into an improvement of gross margin. So I was wondering what is offsetting this price increase, whether it is dilution from Pacon sales or cost inflation or anything else, and also if we should take this 45% gross margin as a sort of new normal for your business. And last question, what are you implying as a net working capital on sales by 2019 year end, your guidance of 50 million, at least 50 million cash flow generation?
Okay. At the moment, we prefer not to give a present guidance on the network capital sales. If I were to answer your question, we prefer to fix exactly, because we have also some FX effect that is not a ratio that it is easy to calculate, especially in this short period when we don't want to give misunderstanding message. What we want to confirm is that we confirm the cash generation, then and the leverage at least 50 million. We started from a strong, we say, volume on networking capital coming from the previous year. So the cash generation can be also good, also if the ratio is not really good from a number point of view, because we started from a bad ratio last year. Mm-hmm. But the cash generation will be very good. What I can confirm is that our target is to be between 35% and 40% next year. I think not near 35%, to be honest, maybe near to 40%, but our target is still confirming this range.
Yes, in order to give a little bit more flavor to what Stefano just said, the improvement that you already see in third quarter and you will further see in the fourth quarter has been obtained mainly starting to cut what we had in terms of extra reserve, because in 2018 we had a serious problem related to ERP system and our warehouse. We have finalized the SAP implementation in the United States. We ended all the process the 1st of October, so it's not realistic to imagine that the improvement we had this year is based on SAP. So next year we will be able in United States to work to have a full year starting from forecast, and definitely the further improvement will come simply because we are working on a reliable ERP system. Going back to your questions related to North America. North America, we are quite confident for next year for some objective information that we can analyze. We are experiencing an interesting reduction of raw material, and we are not passing any reduction of prices to the market despite there is pressure. We have experienced this year a clear strategic decision of our customers to reduce their stock, because in United States there is still a lot of questions related to a potential negative cycle of the economy, which personally I don't agree, but still is what we read. And when customers decide to destock, it's difficult to offset this decision. And by the way, considering that our target this year was number one, generate cash, and number two, fix the operation, I thought that it was better to manage a healthy year like we did, like we are doing, and things will improve further in the fourth quarter, then start putting pressure in the system. So for next year, we have a couple of positive points. We have finalized we have shut down the headquarter, the old headquarter of Dixon. We did this at the end of October, so we will have a full year savings. Unfortunately, we did that 6 months later this year, so the numbers of United States have been affected by later execution of these savings. Again, the destocking process is done, so next year worst case scenario is that customer will be maybe conservative, but for sure they cannot reduce further. I personally feel quite optimistic because I see cross-selling starting in North America, which is positive. The business of fine art is doing very well, and this is clearly important to increase our average profitability expected in the coming year. Let me remember you, I already repeated this point, but I want to repeat again. Since we were public in 2015, we always targeted an EBITDA on sales of 17.5%. Now, we feel positive that in medium term, this average profitability will grow at least by 1 percentage point, thanks to the important growth we are seeing around the world of our fine art business that count for, our turnover is count for 30% of the fine art business worldwide. Concerning last part of your question, so why we have not seen in the gross margins the effect of having increased prices. But first of all, the accounting principle force you to consider the inventory, the inventory evaluation. We have paid quite expensive the raw material until I would say March, April, and then the raw material trend went down. The same thing, by the way, is valid for all the inventory of Camson. We have shut down the plant in January, but to close the plant and to move all the machinery to Pecon, we have built up stock for more or less 4 or 5 months. All this has been made with the old organization, so higher overhead, higher cost, so a more expensive inventory. This inventory has been sold during the first 9 months. So clearly, the impact on the gross margin is something that is flowing. You cannot see overnight. The more we continue selling, the more we are substituting the old stock with the new stock that it has a much much lower cost, including the raw material.
Again, if you have a question, please press star then one. The next question is a follow-up from Alessandro Cecchini with Equita. Please go ahead.
So we talked about raw materials. So consider that the pulp prices are going down. What is your expectation for the next year? So next year, 2020, about savings coming raw material, in particular regarding pulp and in general. So also considering other raw material. Thank you.
Alessandro, other raw material, we don't have any big changes expected. The worst case scenario is that things are stable, if not improving, depending a lot if the trend of the worldwide economy continues to be so depressed as it is now. The fact that China recession is now official, or recession, a much lower growth than expected, is clearly helping the raw material to stay at worst stable, if not better. Concerning the pulp, we see some positive impact already. You will see just a little bit in 2019, you will have a full impact in 2020. We have positive impact in Canson, and we have positive we estimate between 2 and 3 million euro, the positive impact. We have some positive impact also in North America, a little bit less because the trend of pulp last year in North America was a little less under stress compared to Europe. So we experienced a lower growth, so now we have lower reduction. Generally speaking, if I combine the reduction of raw material, if we combine that we have finally, after 18 months, concluded any reorganization in North America, which means that we will have 12 months full synergies in terms of cost reduction, we have shut down the plant in North America, definitely, and now SAP is perfectly working. Definitely, I think that our positive mood is completely justified and has a solid ground.
Okay, thank you very much.
Again, if you have a question, please press star then one. The next question is a follow-up from François Robillard with Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Hi there, Sarah, it's me again. Can you just give us some more color on the evolution of the adjustment mark-to-market hedging on slide 10? I recall it was quite a concern last time around, and it grew by circa 30%. Where do you see it go by year end and for the years to come? Thank you.
I think there was an increase of some million, but it's something that of course we don't control, and of course it's major the LIBOR effect and the Euribor effect. I don't think to be much far from this amount, but to be honest, I'm not much concerned of this effect, of course, except that I pay a fixed higher amount of interest compared the interest that I could pay with a variable amount, but you have to be a magician in this case to foresee when you do an aging that you will do some saving or not. The proposal of the aging is to have a fixed cash out for all the duration of the loan. But having said that, this aging doesn't affect also my covenant. So for my NFP calculation, is something that I treat as a cashless effect, and I manage as a cashless effect for all my purposes, especially for the banks. Having said that, I understand that I could have a little increase, but I think that a big part of this increase is already in the number that you have seen. Just to give you an example, when I talked to the bank in March, determine, you know, is the maximum effort that you will have is this one, and then I add other millions. So again, it's not easy. Based on the number that I've seen in the last month, I think that more or less it will be stable end of the year. Maybe a little increase, but not so big.
Okay, thank you.
There are no more questions at the moment. The next question is a follow-up. The next question is a question from Niccolò Storer with Kepler. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon to everybody. I connected later on the call, so maybe you already explained that. What is the, on the net financial position, the 2.8 million to related to a participation increase? Could you explain that and why you put it in the adjustment?
This is a refer. We bought in August September, the beginning of September, the remaining 50% of our subsidiary in Greece. And so we bought the minority of this company. Now is 100% owned by Fila. So this is the reason why you see this cash out. And we always treat participation increase, as an extraordinary effort, because it's not a normal core of our business to buy participation, to buy companies. We bought Pacon, we put in the adjustment area. That doesn't mean that you have an adjustment for my ratio, but just to highlight to you that if you see the increase of debt between December and September, you can see that it's 131 million, but if you take away the 81 million, you have 50 million or real increase of net debt that can be reduced to 22 million if we take away the mark-to-market and the FX effect. So just for analysis purpose, that I prefer to analyze as extraordinary.
Okay, and the the FX negative 14.5 million is just the appreciation of US dollar, right?
Yes, to be precise, is 13 million to US dollar and 2 million to Mexican pesos.
To give the big...
Okay.
There are no more questions.
So really thank you for very much for being connected to the call, and have a nice evening. Bye.